I invite you now to prepare your hearts to hear the sacred scriptures, that they may speak life into our very beings. Will you join me with our prayer of illumination? Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today is the last Sunday in an intentional season of reflecting and discerning what the faithful path is for us as a church. And on this Commitment Sunday, when we think about what are next steps for us, the scriptures that will inform our conversation come to us from Joshua and from the Gospel according to Luke. I'll be reading from the 24th chapter of Joshua, selected verses. Hear now these words. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you, and after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are the witnesses." And he said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made statutes and ordinances for them at Shechem. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak in the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "See, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you if you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away to their inheritances. Today, our reading from the gospel comes from Luke, and I invite you to stand in body or spirit as I speak and read from the 14th chapter. Please stand as you are able. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot then, while the other is still far away, the king sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. I invite you now to pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this beautiful October Sunday, as we finish this journey of what are you calling us to, we hear Joshua's words to those who are prepared to enter into this space and land that had been promised to them, this inheritance of goodness. And as we hear the words of Jesus in his instructions to the people, may we hear with open hearts what he is actually speaking to us this day. As we, a community of faith, continue to live into your commandments, strengthen us, encourage us, and have us hear your still small voice speaking into our hearts. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Commitment Sunday, and for many, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, what does that even mean? And for us as a church body, we are called to constantly be attuned to how the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, calling us to respond to the needs in the community, and what does that look like moving forward? And just to kind of put us in context of where we are today, we began this conversation acknowledging that church as we know it today is very different than it once was. The landscape in which we enter is very different. And I was reminded this morning as I was purchasing juice for communion, I had a young gentleman ask me, "Are you a Catholic priest?" Because I was wearing my collar. And I said, "No, the Catholics don't allow female priests." I said, "But I am a Methodist pastor." And he said, "Really? Why do you wear a collar?" And I said, "Well, I said, it reminds me of who I am and what God has called me to, and to this vocation and to this ministry." And I said, "And on the other side, it's a free pass into the hospital. Anytime I want to get anywhere, I just throw on a collar and nobody questions why I'm there." And he was like, "Oh, you know," and I said, "so, you know," and it was kind of one of those things where sometimes I forget. And I said, "I do this as a reminder to myself about who I am and what God is asking of me. It keeps me honest, it keeps me humble, and it keeps me attuned to pay attention. And sometimes these conversations catch me off guard. And I'll be honest with you with that." And then I also had to fill it out. I said, "You know, we live in a space where there are still those who don't understand how women are called to be clergy. And so I wear it as a symbol of this calling that God has on my life, and more importantly, how I walk alongside each and every one of you to recognize that church is very different today, and yet the work that God has called us to do has not changed. That we started to remember, and we were, you know, building on this foundation that what we have been called to do is to love God and love one another. And how do we stay in love with God? We stay attuned to the sacraments of grace like communion or baptism or reading scripture or praying for each other, praying for the community beyond. And from that love that God has shown us, we are also called to love one another. Who is my neighbor? Who am I called to see the beauty of God in their eyes? Am I really recognizing them as God's beloved creation, just as I am? And am I paying attention to their needs and their desires and where there might be obstacles in their path? And that leads us into this idea of, you know, this call of Jesus said, "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you came to heal me. I was lonely and you brought Christ into my life. That is what Jesus is calling us to, this recognition that there are some very basic needs for us and everyone else in this world. And then Jesus flips it upside down and says, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was in prison and you didn't visit me. And for those that had been following alongside Jesus, they're like, when did we see you or not see you in any of this, Jesus? And Jesus is saying, whatever you do to the least of us, you have done unto me. Again, calling us to recognize that every single person is a beloved child of God, that everyone matters. And then we talked a little bit about disciple making and how our sphere of influence is so important, because if we aren't attentive to our own spiritual growth, then we are out of alignment of what God is calling us to, and recognizing that we are all at different places in our lives, and yet the fundamental truths of God's love and love for neighbor remains. And we are called to share that in small groups, prayer communities, crafting circles, over a cup of coffee, or even at the self-checkout stand at Food Lion. So we're called to make disciples in the image, the footpath of Jesus. Because Jesus was turning this inside out of saying that the ways of old are no longer what I'm asking of you. I am reimagining, reinterpreting, living into a different way of being and saying it's not about power. It's not about authority. It's not about building something up for you to think that you are the best. It's about you being on the outskirts and the margins and in community with others who need a word of hope. And then that also challenged us to realize that sometimes we like to think that we're really good at what we do, and that only us can do that work, and we forget that there are other places of faith and worship, that if we actually came together and served alongside one another, the impact of sharing God's love would be so far greater than what we could do on our own. And I don't have Keith here today to tell me how it works to lift up a couch by himself, right? And sometimes we may think that it gets really hard to do this work because we think that we have to do it by ourselves or just with what we have here. And I got to be honest with you, that is not what God is asking of us. And we know this from the very beginning of the early church, that they shared everything they had. They ate together, they prayed together, they read scripture together, and they were attentive to the needs in their community. They were staying rooted in this love of God. And then it calls us right now to, what is God asking of us now, in this place, in this season, in this moment of time? I didn't necessarily have the heart to tell this young man this morning. I said, I am standing as a witness that there is a different narrative than what the world is trying to tell you about who God is. How often faith is used as a weapon against other people. How you can get scripture to say anything you want it to say if you look hard enough. But I'm here to remind myself and us as a community that the Word of God, Jesus in flesh, incarnate, fully divine, fully human, who walked amongst us, never intended it to be used against other people. It was meant to be a connection point, how love binds us together and helps us grow. are challenging words for me today. And I hope that they are for you as well. And here's the thing. I can't do this on my own. We cannot do this work on our own. We can only do this work when God has orchestrated and made it revealed to us. Right? So what is God calling us to? God's calling us to be a community of faith who sees ourselves more than just brick and mortar, rather as a body of faithful believers who desire to know God's love and to share God's love into the world. We gather as a body to recognize that there are those even in our midst today who are lonely or hungry or dealing with medical crises. How are we a support to them? We also know that there are others out into the world who are hungry, lonely, and facing crisis in their lives. So what is God calling us to? God's calling us to stay rooted in the foundation of love and grace and mercy and peace, to be peacemakers in the world, to not worship the idols of society. Joshua says, put down those other gods and know that there is only one true God to whom we are to worship and serve. As for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. And Jesus tells us that it's going to cost us. There is a cost to faithfulness. There is a cost to discipleship. There is a cost into living out what God has asked of us. We hear these words of, you shall take up your cross and follow me. And there were people who heard this from Jesus who said, I can't do it. I'm out. And turned away from Jesus. But Jesus was very honest that there were going to be things that we may have to give up in order to do this work and to do it well. That the rewards, the benefits would far outweigh anything tangible that we could see out into the world. Because friends, what do we gain when we lose it all? We gain eternal life. We gain this promise to be in the steadfast presence of a God who loves each and every person. To me, that is good news and challenges us, because what do we as a church need to put down in order to fully live into what God has called us to be? So maybe it's put down the social media and stay attuned to what God is speaking into your life. Put down the thought that we may have all the answers and we can do the best, when all God is asking is for us to be faithful. This may look different for each and every one of you, and I invite you to continue to pray to God. God, help me to see how you can use me to build this community in this place. Help me to see how important it is to love those I interact with. Help me to see, to keep my mouth shut, so as not to use your faith as a weapon against somebody else, when honestly, sometimes I just want to shake people and be like, you say you love God, and yet your actions convey a completely different message. And I guess the calling today in determining our path is that our mouths and our actions fully align with God's mission in the world, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, that the world may be fully reconciled back unto God, that we turn away from those things that are obstacles of right relationship with God and follow in the ministries laid out before us through Jesus. That's our mission. That's our work. And we are called to do that together. Thanks be to God that God will be with us, will never forsake us, and will remain as a guide as we continue to live this in this place. Thanks be to God for love like that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.